Intermittent fasting, lose weight, heal your body, and live a healthy life. Written by Amanda Walker. Narrated by Kimberly Austin. Introduction. Unless you've been in a coma for the past few decades, you're no doubt aware that there's a worrisome epidemic afflicting millions of people all over the globe. That epidemic is obesity, excessive weight that leads to physical and mental health problems that affect quality of life. The latest buzz is about belly fat, which is the term that has been coined to describe abdominal obesity. The common occurrence of this phenomenon is clearly evident to the most casual observer on a bus or in the shopping mall. In fact, the words belly fat have become a sort of battle cry of health professionals and nutritionists who recognize the dangers lurking behind all that fat. Excessive weight in general, and belly fat in particular, have all sorts of negative effects on your body, your heart, and even your brain. Increased weight means an increased risk of developing heart problems, type 2 diabetes, inflammatory diseases, and cancer. Looking at the big picture, a larger waist circumference can lead to a shorter life. As much as we try to fool ourselves with lame excuses, the principal cause of this problem is pretty clear. We eat too much. But it's more than that. Many of the foods we eat are poor sources of nutrients. In our quest for foods that are convenient and tasty, we often forego the right kinds of foods that we need for a healthy life. We have become a society that tends to eat whatever we want, whenever we want, wherever we can get it. Then one day, something happens. We step on the scale, or we see our reflection in a mirror, or we can't get our jeans on, and we think, oh, choose your favorite expletive. It's time to do something. And the first thing that comes to mind is the D word, diet. But now there's another problem. In the late 1970s, the USDA recommended a low-fat diet, and that seems to be just about the point at which the rate of obesity began its statistical climb. In cutting down on fats, people began to consume more carbohydrates, which stimulate insulin levels. High insulin levels actually make people gain weight rather than losing it. That was the opposite of what the USDA intended. When the recommended low-fat diets didn't produce the desired results, more diets began to come out of the woodwork. We went from the low-fat to low-carb to slow-carb, Atkins, South Beach, Zone, Mediterranean, all liquid, all vegetable, all fruit, all raw, and so on, and so on. Companies like Jenny Craig and Nutrisystem also jumped on the diet bandwagon, and SlimFast and AIDS developed products to help in the weight loss effort. The results were mixed. Many of these diets were successful with a lot of people, but many were not. That's the thing about dieting. What works for one person won't work for another. Finding a diet that's perfect for everybody has just not been accomplished at this point. That's why diet books continue to be hot items in bookstores and libraries everywhere. One refrain that seems to prevail among all the diets is the question, what can I eat today? With all the calorie counting, fat counting, carb counting, etc., we often find that our daily choices are limited. But what if there were some days where, instead of saying, what can I eat today, you could say, what will I eat today? It's not just wishful thinking that you would be able to eat whatever you liked on a diet. With intermittent fasting, it's a reality. That doesn't mean that you'll be wolfing down giant portions of ice cream and French fries at will. With intermittent fasting, there will still be some restrictions. The difference is that you will not be restricting what you eat, but when you eat. And not only will you lose weight, You'll also become healthier in the process. Part 1. What is intermittent fasting? What is intermittent fasting, and why is it good for you? By definition, intermittent fasting, or IF, means that a person has regularly scheduled periods of time where she eats a normal diet, alternating with periods of restricted eating. In other words, it's a pattern of skipping meals on a regular basis. Restricted eating could be anything from zero calories to a small quantity of food with a significantly minimized calorie total. For some people, it's a more effective way to lose weight than the other diet plans. At first, it's not easy. The hunger pains during the fasting periods are impossible to ignore, and there's a constant need to watch the clock. But after a brief period of adjustment, the hunger pains become insignificant, and the routine of intermittent fasting begins to fit right into the daily groove. Some people will balk at the idea of not being able to indulge in their 3 to 6 meals a day. But if you think about it, you're already fasting every time you sleep. That's why the first meal of the day is called breakfast. You're breaking the fast between the last meal of yesterday and the first meal of today. So how hard can it be to just fast a bit longer and wait a while for the first meal? Once your body gets adjusted to fasting on a regular timetable, your insulin and glucose levels will calm down. More on this later. And your brain won't be sending as many false alarms that you need to eat. The longer you maintain a regular fasting pattern, the easier it becomes. One problem with our eating habits is just that. They are based on habit. Breakfast at 7:30 a.m., lunch at noon on the dot, snacks at 10 and 3, and dinner at 6 with ice cream in front of the TV. And don't forget the requisite guacamole and chips while you watch football. All this, whether you're hungry or not. With intermittent fasting, you become more aware of your hunger levels. If there are certain times or circumstances where you eat because that's what you've always done, being on a fast means that you won't eat during those times, and eventually it will lead you to wonder why it was always such a big deal in the first place. With intermittent fasting, your attitude toward eating becomes more purposeful, and you become more focused on your eating patterns. Once your attention is centered more on when you will eat than what you can eat, you no longer have to be as concerned with trying to eat less. As long as you don't try to overcompensate by binging between fasts, your average calorie count will naturally decrease, and you'll lose weight. The idea of intermittent fasting as a weight loss or health improvement diet program is relatively new. For that reason, there has not been a lot of research done to verify all the anecdotal evidence from people who have tried it and are impressed with the results. According to some, the weight loss and loss of belly fat was remarkable. Not only that, but compared to eating a low-calorie diet with no fasting period, the weight loss is just as effective, and possibly even more effective. But there is less muscle loss. Is IF a good idea for everyone? Unfortunately, no. For people with certain health conditions, diabetes or malnutrition, for example, intermittent fasting could mean a serious risk to their health. And people with eating disorders would only aggravate their condition if they adopted the practice of intermittent fasting. Additionally, children, as well as women who are pregnant or breastfeeding, should not have nutritional restrictions. And before you make the decision whether intermittent fasting is for you, it's important to take into consideration any prescription meds that you take on a regular basis. If you happen to be on a medication that needs to be taken with food, fasting won't work for you. So the bottom line here is the same as with any type of diet. Do not proceed until you check all the facts and get the go-ahead from your healthcare provider. The right mindset is very important for anyone who wishes to succeed with an intermittent fasting lifestyle. If you have a casual attitude toward it, it won't work for you. You're going to have to commit yourself to spending time on meal planning and preparation. Your social life will also factor in because so much of our interpersonal lives include a good amount of eating and drinking with friends and family. And if you're the type of person who starts feeling obsessive about food at the first sign of hunger pangs, this style of eating will probably make you miserable and more than a little bit crazy. When you are constantly thinking about food, you often tend to overcompensate for fasting by taking the first opportunity and eating more calories than you normally would. If that's the case, intermittent fasting may turn out to be more harmful than beneficial. But for most people, there is some form of intermittent fasting that will fit in well with their needs and lifestyle and that they can be comfortable with over a long period. Later in this book, we will be discussing the many different eating and fasting methods that fall under the category of intermittent fasting. A brief history of fasting. Before you protest that fasting is unnatural and unhealthy, stop and think about our very first ancestors, the hunter-gatherers. Their very way of life subjected them to periods of imposed fasting because there were plenty of times when there was very little to hunt or gather. They probably had ways of making their available food stretch out over a long period of time, but ultimately, they had to become accustomed to eating when there was food available and fasting when it was hard to find. It must have worked for them, somehow, because we're still here. Then, during the first agricultural revolution, humans developed some know-how so that they could have some control over the availability of food. They domesticated and raised animals for meat, eggs, and milk, and they cultivated land and planted crops so that they would have reliable sources of food. This transition to agriculture also created a new lifestyle. Since they no longer had to live a nomadic lifestyle to find food, our ancestors established settlements and stopped moving around. This gave them the opportunity to direct their focus to something besides their survival, and they began to think. That brings us to the early philosophers: Pythagoras, Plutarch, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, and other great thinkers and healers were all advocates of the practice of fasting. They believed in the power of fasting to clarify the mind and revitalize the body. Hippocrates, the father of medicine as a science, believed that fasting was an effective component of the healing process. He claimed, among other things, that when the patient is fed too richly, the disease is fed as well. Benjamin Franklin, a more modern thinker, claimed that the best of all medicines is resting and fasting. When you think about it, fasting when you're sick makes a lot of sense. We actually possess a sort of fasting instinct. Your pets are a good example. When an animal doesn't feel well, it won't eat. And you can probably relate to the idea yourself. Think about the last time you had a bad case of the flu, and the thought of eating anything was revolting. That's because your body needed to direct as many of its resources as possible to fighting the illness, and working on the digestive process after eating would take some of those resources away. So fasting is the body's natural prescription to help you get well. During the 20th century, a number of therapeutic fasting clinics and centers popped up in some countries. These clinics generally specialized in certain types of fasts, such as water fasts or juice fast, with medical supervision. Limo therapy, which involves abstaining from food for a period of 1 to 1.5 days under medical supervision, became a popular method of therapeutic fasting at many of these clinics. Some of them even promoted their therapies as fasting holidays. As trends change, these clinics continue to come and go. Another modern trend in fasting has been cleansing fasts, which have become a popular way to detoxify the body. By abstaining from food and drinking only water, your system flushes out toxins that accumulate from food, pollution, and other contaminants that humans are constantly exposed to. Besides the water fast, there are a variety of other cleansing fasts that promote drinking juice, adding apple cider vinegar or lemon to the water, green smoothies, and more. Fasting also has a long history in religion. Most religions today observe periods of time when followers are encouraged or required to show their commitment, faith, and spirituality by refraining from the indulgence of eating. In the case of religious fasting, practitioners feel that fasting is a good thing for both body and spirit. It's believed that fasting is a type of sacrifice that indicates purification and devoutness. Many religions turn to fasting in times of mourning and as a demonstration of penance. Many Christians fast for 40 days during Lent because Christ fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. The Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, was also devoted to fasting. So Muslims are expected to observe the holy month of Ramadan by eating and drinking nothing at all between sunrise and sunset every day. If fasting would be risky for someone because of health or age issues, they are allowed to substitute generosity to the poor for fasting. Once the sun has set, however, fasting Muslims often overindulge to compensate for what they miss during their fast, so they don't acquire the health benefits. Followers of Buddhism are also faithful believers in fasting. When the Buddha was a young man seeking enlightenment, he went through a period of self-denial so severe that he limited himself to eating a single grain of rice per day. He was close to death when he realized that he would have to be alive to achieve enlightenment. And that realization motivated him to adopt a more balanced routine of self-discipline and self-indulgence. Today's Buddhists practice fasting to achieve self-control and greater spirituality. Many Buddhist monks do not eat any solid food after noon every day, and some lay people do the same on days of the full moon. The practice of yoga also recommends fasting for cleansing the body, spiritual renewal, and basic practicality. Avoiding food before a yoga practice ensures that the intestines will be clear, allowing for better access to certain postures. In addition, the digestion process competes with other body systems and organs for blood, which undermines the effect of the energy flow that yoga practice provides. Proponents of yogic fasting also assert that fasting increases flexibility. Native American cultures have also been closely connected to nature and their bodies. They recognize the benefits of fasting and would include the practice in many of their sacred rituals and rites of passage. Fasting was also an important element in the vision quest. This ritual involved a solitary time in the wilderness, or, in some cases, a heated hut or sweat lodge, where the person would fast to achieve a clear mind. The goal was to experience dreams or visions that suggested a solution to a problem or a certain direction to follow. In some cases, the vision was understood to be a message from a deity. Nowadays, vision quests are not limited to Native American cultures, but are available to mainstream people who are searching for something outside of their own modern experience. It's possible to find businesses who will set up a vision quest for any interested party. Fasting has also been known to be an instrument for passive resistance and political protest, as in hunger strikes. One of the most well-known people to fast for political purposes was Mahatma Gandhi. who repeatedly went on hunger strikes to protest the oppression of India's poorest classes and Great Britain's dominance over India. The hoped-for result was to get public sympathy behind him and pressure the government to make changes in policy. On one fast, Gandhi fasted for a total of